Hey guys, God bless. Welcome to Fellowship. It's really good to be able to get together and just pray together, hear the word together, you know, sing in our hearts together. God really has called us to a very unique and wonderful calling, especially at these times right now that things are going on. I wanted to share some scripture tonight to just really help us focus and look at the things of God that are going on instead of the things around us. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I wanted to just take time to look into God's Word and understand some direction from Him. I'm going to call this, Let's Lock Our Hearts In With God. And I want to start in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Pretty familiar verse to most of us. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God's people, he took them out of Israel, he took them from Egypt into a land full of milk and honey, and they fought him off and on the whole way. They forsook what he told them to do. They turned from him. The word forsaken is the word to turn away from, to place it or someone behind you. It is a deliberate decision and action it needs to be taken with it. So it's not something that happened haphazardly. For people to turn their back on God, it's a decision that they make, and it's a really negative action that they take that ends up hurting them more than anybody else. Today it might sound like, I'm going to do things my way. Well, I know what that says, but I'm going to do my own thing. And the really bad ones sometimes that people use in taking their eyes off of the things of God and what God's taught them is, it just feels right. So I'm going to do it. It feels right. I'm going to go with it. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Well, feelings then become our source of truth. And you know what? When we allow our feelings or our thoughts and ideas that flow contrary to God's word to be our truth, then we have forsaken the things that God has taught us. And we have hewed out our own cisterns. And our own cisterns, you know what? They do not provide neither temporal or spiritual food. Our cisterns today might look like this. Facebook. Well, if it's on Facebook, then it's got to be true. Or perhaps the newest fad of food. Or clothes. These become our cisterns. Our cisterns. These become the things that we look at and we think about and we care about. And these are not the living waters that God wants us to have in our lives. When we focus on God, our thoughts do not end up controlling us. But when we hew out these personal cisterns that we start aligning ourselves with and we start believing and trusting in, the things of God fade very quickly in our thoughts and in our mind, and we end up doing things that actually are against the things that we know God wants us to do. And it's very subtle at times. It's not just this blatant, I'm turning my back on God. It is a chipping away at that the adversary does by using things and people and circumstances and situations to get us to focus on that instead of on the fountain of living waters, our God, who provides everything we need. In the manifestations tonight, it was amazing. I mean, I know what I'm teaching on, but you guys did it. And some of the things he said in the manifestations just flow with this. God wants us to rely on him, to trust him, no matter what's going on around us. He doesn't want us to get caught up in the things that are a distraction to the normal people who don't have a relationship with God. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's really important that our thoughts, our actions flow in alignment and harmony with the things God has put in front of us. His word, his spirit in us, he can communicate with us in so many different ways, but we have to focus on those things and not let things on the outskirts of our life be the thing that ends up controlling what we're thinking about. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engages in warfare, and it's talking about spiritual warfare. Paul is talking to Timothy here because there's really bad stuff going on. It's in Timothy, it's close to when Paul's going to fall asleep, and many people have turned away from the word of God that Paul and the other apostles and disciples were teaching. And he's telling Timothy, no one engaged in spiritual warfare entangles with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And it's really a very simple verse. The affairs of this life, that those are the things that are going on in the five senses realm. And Paul is telling Timothy, don't look at those things. Look at the spiritual things. This warfare is a spiritual battle. Don't get entangled with the things of this life, in the five senses. That's what he's trying to get him to see. Because the five senses is what's going to deceive us. But if we remember the word of God, that it's the power of the written, spoken, and believed word of God that continues to strengthen us and give us the wisdom and the ability to stand on the things of God. And that word, entangle, I want to really look at that for a minute, entangle. It's those things of, it's used five times, okay, in the word, King James Version, it's used five times. What's significant about this word entangled is that it is talking about the process of mental, moral, and spiritual confusion and enslavement. Wow. That's what that word entangled means. We are not to get entangled because it doesn't just, it's not just a passing thought. It is the process of mental, moral, and spiritual confusion and enslavement. We don't want to be entrapped or ensnared in that manner. But that is how the adversary sets it up. That's why he's warning Timothy, don't look at things with your five senses. It is a spiritual warfare. Go to Galatians chapter 5. This is a second scripture here I'm going to read tonight that has that word entangled in it. And that it's really a very powerful word. You might want to look at the other, I think it's three more scriptures I've read too. There's three more in the King James Version where this word's used. It's not a word that's used often, but it is a very powerful word. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and we're in the King James. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay? We can get entangled with yokes of bondage. Those are not things we want to be entangled with. The entangled word here is the same usage as it is in the other three places. It has to do with our mental process, the morality of our souls and hearts, and spiritual confusion and enslavement. We do not want to be entangled in anything, nothing. And we don't need to be because God has given us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, knowledge. I mean, God, not just in his word, but he has put that within us in the spirit. We have the wisdom of Jesus Christ if we use it. The things that are going on around us right now, I mean, it's not good. All of us know that. It has affected all of us in one way or another. And it's easy to get emotionally charged out of it. It's easily to get ensnared. I mean, it really is. Think about it. You know, you're going through your day, all of a sudden something about this election or something about what somebody said or something about what happened at work just pops into your mind, and all of a sudden that's what you're thinking on, that's what you're dwelling, and then you're getting angry, or you're getting afraid, or you're getting discouraged. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what? We're going to stay out of that entanglement, and we're going to look to God, and we're going to go to Him, and we're going to say, hey, Dad, I'm freaking out here. Help me out. And you know what will happen? He will absolutely calm your heart if you allow Him. We don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be angry. And we really don't want to be angry at each other, you guys. In the body of Christ, a lot of stuff going on right now is just causing division. And we don't, that's, I cannot express in words how much that hurts my heart. Because there is not one thing that is going on outside in this country that is more important to me than my brothers and sisters' hearts in Christ. And I'm very serious about this. I don't care who voted for who. I don't care who ends up in the White House. I care about it in one level, but the more important level is my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just encourage each and every one of us, if something's happened between you because of the political party that you believe in or the stance you've taken in, or in anything else, and there's a division, you guys, let's don't be entangled in that. Let's don't carry that burden and that bondage around. Let's don't fall into the snares of our adversary, because that's what it's all about. He is just trying to conquer and divide not only our country, but to me, even more importantly, the body of Christ. And we don't need to do that, because God has put directions in His Word on what to do about it when we're attacked. And that's what I really want to focus on. So go to Ephesians chapter 10. Our lives are a spiritual battle, you guys. Our lives are a spiritual battle. Every day it is a spiritual battle. And we have to really be aware of that and to allow God to work within us, to willing to do of His good pleasure, with our hearts locked in with Him and our minds determined to stay that way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is in the NIV. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. We can take our stand because we have that armor. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And it's not against each other, you guys, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I thought this translation was really good. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the Word of God to go to daily and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all prayers, all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep going. Keep praying for all the Lord's people. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it is so important that we remember who we are in Christ and that we remember who our brothers and sisters are in Christ. We are a family, a spiritual family that God Almighty has put together. And we need to stand together and fight together against this stupid devil that's trying to screw up our world. Sorry about the screwing up, but that's what's happening. And we, you know what? We got to stand. We cannot back down. No, brothers and sisters. We are not going to give in to the adversary scheme. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's some more. that God has told us that we can, that will help us be able to do what I'm talking about. We're back in the King James, New King James. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is the kind of power we have. It is inside of us. It lives in us. If we will bring every thought captive to Christ, if we will stand on God's word and do it God's way and be there to fight together, the adversary has to back off. And right now, that's what our country needs. It needs us. We are the light of this world. God has told us that many times. And if we stand with him and we fight the way he tells us to fight, spiritual battle, not fleshly battles, we are guaranteed a victory. And I'm telling you, we need to do it. Colossians, let's go there. We're going to close here in Colossians. This is the English version, English Standard Version, I think it's called, the EVS, whatever it's called. Colossians 3, chapter 12. I love this section. This is who we are, you guys. Listen, this is who we are. Put on as God's chosen one. That's you. That's me. Holy and beloved, compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. See, God telling us to forgive each other isn't a request. It is a commandment. Did you get that? Forgiving each other is a commandment from God. Okay? Above all these things, above all those things I just read, and there are some mighty things in there, open the Bible later and look at this, because this is who you are. This is who we are. And above all these things, put on love. Why? Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's why. We forgive each other. We're kind and patient with each other. We have compassion towards each other. We all walk in God's grace. And God says that we then put that love of God on, which binds together perfectly, perfectly harmony. That's how we want to live our lives with one another before our Father. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You think Christ had to really push his mind in circumstances like, hey, they're getting ready to take me, nail me to that cross. He knew what the word said. They're getting ready to do this. But he has peace in his heart because he knows what his Father will and is capable and is determined to do for him. And you guys, we gotta see that in our own lives about God. He is willing and determined to give us the victories that he wants to give us, but we have to do it his way. We need to really line our hearts up, lock our hearts in with our Father. He only wants what's good for us. There's so much hatred and evil and cruddy stuff going on, but it doesn't have to be that way for us. No, sir. No, it does not. Because we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to the which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell. Let it dwell in you. It means dwelling is a staying place. It stays there. Let the word of Christ stay there in you richly. And what do you do with it? Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns. And spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. God wants that. He's directing us to do that. I can't even imagine what it must sound to God. you know, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. It must, he must delight in it because he asked us to do it. I mean, I don't know. He's heard me sing, so I'm not quite so sure. But with everybody else singing with me, then it's okay. It blesses God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. Okay, I'm going to read that again. It's the end of this verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is how God wants us to live. This is how God wants us to respond to his word. So that as we respond to him and the love he has for us, and we respond to the things that he places on our heart, and we respond to who we are in Christ, guess what? Doing the things that we just saw in Colossians, being kind to each other, having patience with each other, loving each other above all things, is easy. It really is. And that's who we want to manifest in our lives. The world needs us to walk in huge amounts of love right now, people. It needs us to walk in the light of God's word and to share with people the love of God and the faithfulness of God and the victory we can have with God. That is what we're called to do. And that is what we need to be determined to do, no matter what's going on around us or who says what. We stick with God, his word, and we love each other with the love of Christ, no matter what is going on around us. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us this night to just really take this stuff to heart that God has opened to us from his word. And live like this. There's no better way to live. There's no better way to live. I love you guys. God bless your hearts. And let's get out there and shine so brightly that we just blind the darkness and the stuff that's going on so it can't even shine anymore. Okay? God bless. Well, Father, we're so thankful that we can look into your word and we can get encouragement from one another and have the joy that you want us to have in spite of the circumstances, that we can laugh and we can be lighthearted because we know we can trust you. You will take care of your people. And as we, your people, respond to the things you put on our heart, we can minister and help take care of other people that still need to get to know you or come back to you and see the power and the love that you have for your people. So, Father, thank you for being patient with us, for not giving up on us. Thank you, Father, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished and how he opened up the door to your grace in our own lives, and that we can offer that same grace to one another every single day, every time it's needed. We are such a blessed people, Father. You are such a great God. And our Savior was such a brave, brave man to do the things he did for us. So thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us, taking care of us, and never, ever, ever leaving our side. In the name of our wonderful, powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.